I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is an AFL podcast, and today we're going to do a 2020 season preview for the Adelaide Crows. So before we get into 2020, we'll have a look back at 2019 and saw what's happened for Adelaide. So they finished 11th on 10 wins. So overall, about pass or fail, do you think, on your expectations for Adelaide last year?
Well, without knowing where I picked them to finish off the top of my head, I feel like that's probably a pass for them. For where they were.
Yeah.
I think the expectations for last season were definitely a bit more realistic based on, obviously, the previous season. So I feel like 11 for them isn't too bad.
Outside of the tent, I think, yeah, you go right. But obviously, they weren't.
No. Obviously, everyone would disagree. Who's interested in listening to this podcast. But I think realistically, yeah, I think that's about where they are.
Yeah.
I think they should have been a little bit higher. Just solely for the fact they had Jenkins, Walker and Betts. And I know Jenkins is maligned quite a fair bit, and some of it pretty fairly. But those three guys, they should be worth 4 or 5 goals each a game. And with the midfield they have too, with the Crouch brothers and those guys running around. I think both the Crouch brothers are underrated outside of SA.
Well, part of the problem is not all those guys were running around for him every week.
Yeah, that's a big part of the problem.
We'll get into that. But what are their highs for 2019, do you think, for the Crows?
Beating Richmond, that's
round 13 against Richmond, a big win as well, on their home deck. To be honest, game wise, that's about the only one I could
point. Yeah, they totally drew blanks.
They thumped Gold Coast a couple of times, but
yeah. Those are the only three games they scored over 100 points.
Yeah.
Which, with the offense they have, that should not be the case. It should be, you know, averaging high 90s.
Yeah.
Instead, I think they averaged about 80 odd points, which is not enough.
And I thought over the off-season, they kept the players they needed to keep. Maybe didn't get rid of some that they should have got rid of.
I'm not sure on that.
Yeah,
We might disagree there.
They didn't really get much. But anyway, the other thing that I thought they did well was hit the scoreboard, but inaccurately. So scoreboard pressure matters, but I find if you get a goal the hard way, it almost works against you.
Oh, six points, you mean?
Yeah.
Definitely can. Makes you, it demoralizes as well. Even though you're keeping the ball down in your defense and you're making their defenders work hard, it doesn't get that big release. You know?
You're getting edged. There's no cum shot.
Exactly.
But I think it actually works against the team's morale.
We're not going to call out that.
No,
stop for a second.
It's fine. Just keep going.
But it's like, if you're 36 points down in the first quarter, you're like, fuck, we're in for a long day here. But if you're a goal down, because they're inaccurate, you're like, geez, these guys are off. We're having the chance. And even though you've been scored against 6 times as a defender, you feel better because you think our defenders are doing their job. I'm on top of my forward.
I think you might have revolutionised
something. The forward's edging.
You might have revolutionised something here. 36 points down is better than, or not as good as 6 points down.
We should
tell some people about that one.
Call it the cum shot theory.
The other high I had for them was Brad Crouch. Because we talked about, you know, the Crouch brothers and how much of a highlight they are for him. Brad was always the younger brother and less of the focus, but he won their best and fairest this year and had a standout year for him.
He can fucking play.
Of course.
Star. Absolute superstar. Probably should be featured a bit higher in the Brownlow than he was, but
he just need to win to get a lot of those. That's a problem.
That's part of the problem.
Did he have any injuries this season?
No, I don't think so. Say that, but the guy that won it played on a team that didn't win as much as
did. But anyway. But they lost by a lot.
He has a glorious mane.
Yeah. Well, where are the lows for Adelaide on the year then?
Fucking everywhere else. I mean, getting trounced by Port is obviously a hard one to swallow by 10 goals.
Yeah, it wasn't even close though. I mean, I know 10 goals is a lot, but it could have been more if Port were onto it.
Well, Adelaide kicked 5-14 for the match.
Yeah, that tells you.
And that's just fucking hideous. That is bad football.
I would, as well, they were in the top four at the bye and then went 2-7 after there.
Yeah, I think we all expected that too.
A little bit.
We did expect Adelaide were overachieving early on. And as the season progressed, it just seemed like their focus was everywhere but winning games.
Well, they certainly had a lot of media coverage and none of it good for the major part of the year. And it still feels like the fallout from the famous off-season camp was still, you know, still popped up in the media every 3 months or so.
Yeah, I think that's either lazy journalism, which, let's be honest, that does happen a lot around AFL, or it's a poor excuse. Because how long was the Collective Minds thing for? It was like a week.
It might have been 2 weeks.
Yeah, you can ruin 40 players for two seasons with 2 weeks' worth of effort, fuck me, that's something that CIA wants to get on board with.
Yeah.
Because if you're still blaming that coming into 2020, you're joking yourself.
Yeah, exactly. But obviously it did cost the coach's job as well. And at the end of the year, Pike decided that, you know what, maybe it's somebody else needs to step in and make a clean break. When you look at their off-season, it does look like it is a bit of a, all right, we'll draw a line here, we'll move on, and we'll go into, you know, the next phase of us.
I feel like the biggest low was, like Josh was touching on before, was the performance of their forward line.
Yep.
They just lacked consistency. Obviously, some injuries in there, but they've got enough talent that they should be able to cover that. I think that's what good teams do.
Well, and Eddie Betts running around in the twos.
Yeah, yeah. You
know, Eddie Betts playing in the sample, why?
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't the problem, I think. And Jenkins playing in the sample was, as far as I'm concerned, dumb.
Yeah, yeah. Who did they replace Betts with in the A's? Do you remember?
I'm not even sure.
No, who it was, I mean, I don't remember, so...
Yeah. And you know, even though at the end of the year, Eddie still kicked a couple of bags here and there, but I think half his goals came against Gold Coast.
Yeah.
So it's nice to top up, but you need him out there anyway, perhaps for what he brings to the side and also what he does to the opposition is they got to look after him.
Yeah.
Now, okay, the opposition was beating him, but when they're beating him, it means they're not, you know, guarding somebody
exactly.
else.
Exactly. And they need to beat him for four quarters in its entirety because we've seen him change a game in 10 minutes in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
But there was that one game, it was against Brisbane. I think it was...
They lost by a point?
Not Ellis Yeoman, the other one. The Aboriginal lad that went from Adelaide up to
Duty?
Brisbane.
Oh, Charlie Cameron.
Cameron, that's it. Cameron was playing on Betts, and he's like, you're not getting one on me, mate. And he, you know, pushed him down and everything. Every time he tried to get the shot in their pocket. And in the end, he just popped one. Yeah. And it went up straight through, and he just looked at him and went, yeah, yeah.
I think that's his Tigers, wasn't it? Wasn't that?
I've got a feeling it wasn't.
Yeah,
it wasn't Brisbane.
It was Sydney Stack.
Might have been
I'm
him
pretty
too.
Sure. I'm pretty sure it was. I'm pretty sure it was.
Well, Sydney Stack then.
Yeah.
And I think he gave him a pat on the back or
he
something.
Did. He did.
Fair enough.
It was one of those ones where everyone's going, oh, anybody who thinks that's not right is an absolute joke. You know, of course they should be able to do that. I didn't hear anybody say it wasn't right.
No.
The defense of it came before the attack.
The straw man argument, that one.
But anyway. Yeah. All right, so let's have a look at some of their off-season work.
I mean, swapping jumpers at halftime is a bit pressing, I thought, but whatever.
Their ins, Billy Frampton.
Billy fucking Frampton.
And like three fourth-rounders, three third-rounders and a second from memory?
Players-wise, we'll stop right there because there were no others. No. The only thing of note is I think he's the second or third player of all time that's gone between Adelaide and Port Adelaide.
What about Ben Crocker?
Yep. Ben Crocker.
Yep, he's a person.
Yes.
That did come into the team.
Oh, yeah, they had draft picks. I'm not worried about draft picks here. They're outs. I don't think we've got any more to say about Billy Frampton.
He's a human.
He tries hard. They're outs. Obviously, Eddie Betts has gone home to Carlton. If he's not retiring, then he obviously didn't have a place at Adelaide anymore.
Yeah.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cam Ellis, Yeoman, Greenwood, Jacobs, Jenkins, Alex Keith, all left the club for other clubs.
Yeah, that's a massive net negative,
isn't it?
When you're trading some of your best 22 players, and Eddie Betts is a fringe best 22, Jenkins was best 22.
He should have been. Well. He should not have been out of the side.
And then Alex Keith was. He had probably his best season.
Well, of course he did. He had an absolute best season, especially since Dode went down in round one or round two when he did his knee.
And the same with Greenwood. He was probably the best I've seen him.
Greenwood's popped up. He was one of those players that you go, you know what, don't worry about him. And then you get to the fourth quarter, you go, how's he kicked two goals?
Yeah.
Mm. Where the fuck has he come from?
But you're like, how the hell is he 27?
Yeah, yeah. Because he looks 14.
I can't remember how old he is, but he's about that.
Yeah, he was a mature age. They come in.
Yeah.
So, like we said with Pike leaving and putting a bit of a line under the collective mind stuff, I know that Adelaide fans got annoyed when it'd get brought up every couple of months.
Yeah, and that definitely did lots to quell people bringing it up every couple of months.
But I feel like with these trades, Essendon did better when they had their supplement saga out of their leading team, club players.
Jacobs was an interesting one too, because Sauce had been their number one ruckman, and sort of, I know that Adelaide would argue, why isn't he being considered for All-Australian?
Because there's about six better.
Riley O'Brien kept him out of the side this year. So he's gone back. Did he go back? No, he's gone GWS way. But onto his third club now. I didn't see O'Brien as that big of a gain either, but obviously he's got 10 years on him or thereabouts.
Yeah.
Andy Otten and Douglas have also hung up the boots as well. So
I think Otten got everything out of him himself he could.
Great player. Reliable. His best game wasn't that far away from his worst game. It's probably the same for Douglas, to be honest. And he's one of those players where you go, oh, yeah, he's been around for a few years. And what, 250 games? Oh, shit. Where'd that come from?
Yeah. Yeah, see, for me, I feel like, obviously, they're definitely accepted that they need to rebuild. And obviously, a lot of their players that people wanted to stay around weren't welcome.
Yep.
I'm not totally against that. I'm not saying I would have made the same decision, but there's too many people that you need to get rid of, and there's not enough spots for people you want to keep. So I felt like having that structure in the midfield was one thing they needed to hold on to. And there was talk about Sloan leaving. Don't know how true that was.
Nah, never going to happen.
Both the Crouch brothers also rumoured to leave as well, right?
Well, there is something to talk about there, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, so I think at least half of the rumours you hear about someone leaving, that's just
a manager?
An agent calling his contacts. Yeah. Because if you are intent on leaving, you want to keep it pretty quiet.
Yeah.
Because you want to make sure the club acquiring you gets it for a, you know, they don't have to trade away so much, so there's more money left for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas if you're intent on driving your price up, you want every fucker to know.
Yeah, see, for me, that's a key. A midfield you can work with and build around and train new recruits to come in and build a new team. For a back line, obviously you got Hardigan, who I thought had a decent season.
Yep.
But
journeyman.
Yeah, journeyman, but you know, serviceable. Brody Smith, and from the forward lines, obviously, yeah, Jenkins, I think he definitely had value there. But is spots that are up for grabs, they went a different way. I'm not mad about that. You've still got Tom Lynch, Tex Walker, people that can fill in those spots.
Yeah.
And the rest of it is all up for grabs.
Yeah.
I think that's the way it has to be for them. So.
Especially with a brand new coach coming in as well.
Yeah.
You know, that slate gets wiped clean as well.
Yeah.
So their 2020 draw, we have a look at their double ups. Port, obviously. They'll play Essendon twice, Melbourne, Richmond, which is going to be a bit rough for Adelaide, I think, and the Saints. Saints is a good matchup, I think.
I think that's as good a draw as they could expect.
Yeah.
Throw in the fact that four of their first five games are at Adelaide Oval.
Yeah, so they get to stay home a little bit.
Yeah, and one of them is against Port, so, you know, that was always going to be an Adelaide Oval. But it's still as nice a start to the season you can get.
Yeah.
Having said that, they do start against Sydney, Brisbane, and Richmond as well. So that's not...
I don't mind the Sydney game. Yeah. The other two are going to struggle.
Yeah, not walkover matches, but yeah. I think Brisbane they'll struggle with. Yeah. But
at home for them, I mean, I don't think it's going to make a difference, but hey, yeah. You know, it's something.
But if they're going to have a decent season, they need to beat Sydney in round one.
Of course.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think Sydney are a bit of a bogey side for them over the last 5 to 6 years. But if Buddy Franklin's not playing round one, that'll help him a lot.
And it's going to be hard to plan to play against this Adelaide team because there's a lot of unknowns.
Exactly. Yep. And one being coach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm busy.
Who's in for a big year at the Crows?
Fuck, I want to say Tex Walker.
I think that's a fair thing to say.
Yeah.
You look across the road at Port Adelaide, Travis Boak handed the captaincy over last year and had his best year of football. Not the best year in 5 years, his best year. Texas now handed the captaincy over. There's no more dual captains, so Sloan will run it alone. And it gives Tex, I think, a little bit of a chance to just get back to doing what he needs to do.
Yeah.
Lead out the ground, take strong marks.
I think it'll work well for him. And people, especially in Adelaide, the advertiser tends to be very Crow-centric. And when they're going well, every player's celebrated. They can't pay for their own beer no matter what goes on.
Yeah.
When they're going poorly, everyone wants someone to blame. And it's either the most well-known player or the player with the most profile, or it's the captain. And in this case, that's happens a to large be one part of the one same. And the same.
Yeah.
You know, there's other players with profile like your Sloan, your Crouch. But they don't have that sort of bombastic behaviour that Tex does. Well, and so he kind of... Even if he's having a poor game, you see it written on his face. It's like Richo used to be.
Yeah.
So he gets the blame a lot of the time and not the credit when things go well.
Well, occasionally he says some dumb things in the media or on social media. And you know what? Yeah, that's the way he is. You just got to run with that. But,
Footy player does dumb shit. In under that column, there's a lot fucking ahead of him.
Yeah.
And I do think sometimes the bar was set a little bit too high for him.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's their key forward, but he's not Buddy Franklin.
Yeah,
He's not going to average 80 goals a season for his entire career. And I think sometimes Adelaide got a little bit ahead of themselves. And you know what? 40 goals a year for Tex, that's pretty good. You take that from a key forward.
Yeah, exactly.
I want him to get about 50. I think he needs to be getting up there, especially without Jenkins there this year.
Yeah, he wasn't there last year, Jenkins.
Well, that's true. See, for me, I think that they're... We're going through highs, right?
Who's in for a big year?
Oh, who's in for a big year? Well, I feel like with the new coach, one thing with Adelaide and Port as well is one big factor is managing media pressure and external pressure in that in that city.
Fishbowl.
With a new coach, they're going to be a lot more lenient on what style they play, where they put people in positions. So I think we're going to see a very big shake-up in their forward line. And I would not be surprised to see Shane McAdam, obviously... A fucking...
Gilbert McAdam's nephew.
Yeah, that's the one. I just read some stats that he equaled Nick Nat's vertical jump record when he's in the draft.
Super athlete. Same as Gilbert, same as Adrian. They were unbelievable on their days.
He's had big seasons in SANFL the last couple of years, so I wouldn't be surprised to see him be thrown up forward. You've also got Millera, who he was injured.
Millera,
was injured. He's going to come back as well. I feel like you're going to see them drop in and out of the forward line, and I'd be surprised if Tex gets pushed up. Use his big body.
No, that's interesting. Could you play him on a wing?
Yeah,
I think
absolutely
you kind of have to in some ways.
He is a brilliant field kick.
Yep. Yeah. And you have to respect his ability to mark a ball in a pack. Yeah. And if he's on the wing, he becomes a very, very interesting player at both ends.
So I think the problem with that, though, is then who kicks the goals?
They got plenty of people that will drop in there, like Shane McAdam and...
Tommy Lynch running out of the goal square.
I mean, Miller and...
He fucking has to, but I don't know that he's gonna.
I reckon he can. He'll be all right. I also had in the big year column Tom Dode. Be interesting to see how he comes back from the knee reco after his breakout year the year before. I think the way he plays isn't that overly athletic. So I think if anybody can come back from a knee reco, it's that style of player.
Yep.
So hopefully he just, you know, he spends the first couple of rounds just getting back into it and enjoying footy again. And then you see him almost lead that back line.
Yeah. I mean, the problem I have with Adelaide's back line is who's their biggest shithead? And I think their biggest shithead's actually in the forward line. Like, in terms of, all right, we've got to lay a body on this bloke. Who are you going to? Like, Matt Crouch?
He is.
He's probably. And Sloan isn't going to do it. No. Tex is kind of the only one who'll get a bit of mongrel about him.
Oh, you got Talia down back. He goes all right. You got the desk, Rory Laird.
Is it Laird's? He's up there as well.
He loves the footy, though.
Yeah. I mean, a couple of seasons back, he would have gone to Scott Thompson or something because he didn't give a fuck.
I think it's Hardigan. It's his turn to step up. Plus, I like the name. It was like Bruce Willis' name from Sin City.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. I'll cover his picture and you pick him out of a lineup.
I've got it right in front of me, so I still fuck it up, though. Guaranteed.
He looks like a Lego man.
He's 194 centimetres, 98 kilos, 100 games. If he's not one that's going to assert dominance over that back line, then...
But that's I want to see someone who does that, who plays on like a Buddy Franklin and decides, fuck it, I'll put him in a headlock.
Yeah, I don't need to play next week.
Exactly.
It has been
your backman needs to be suspended at least once. You're not a real backman.
A bit of a theme with your reviews. Like, who's the bastard on this
who's
team?
Who's the asshole?
Oh, absolutely. Every team needs one.
Yeah.
And if your team doesn't have one, you probably suck.
So they're the big years. Who's on the outer at the Crows?
Well, the perennial story is that Walker's going somewhere else. That's not happening.
It's not happening. No.
He loves Adelaide. He loves being there, loves playing footy there. He's not going anywhere.
He's got a career in Adelaide for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
I reckon if they want him to move on, he'll probably just retire.
Yeah, I agree. And I think he's 30 this year. He's got another couple of years.
The best part about that, though, is that when he does retire and goes into media, Kane Corns is out of a job. So see you later, buddy.
I had nobody really because they had their cleanup this year, really.
Yeah, yeah.
And new coach, he's not going to make too many waves now that they made such a massive list change.
Yep.
They're just looking at draft picks and offing off the senior players. Well, they've already kind of done enough.
Yeah.
They want to keep the ones they've got because they do want some leadership in the club.
Well, from the way they've traded too, with a lot of fourth and third rounders, they're after trade points.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether they're looking at getting through some father, sons and academy players next year
or
whether they're thinking we'll trade down on the day for people that do need points and we'll try and get in the second or first round.
Yeah. A lot of the old Adelaide supporters aren't really on board with following facts and logic though. So they're the ones could be on the outer. If you're going to put pressure on this team and get all pissed off if they're not going good, then, fuck off.
Yeah, any Adelaide supporter wants to put money in winning the flag, I'll match it.
All right. They were 11th with 10 wins last year. Where do we see them finishing in 2020?
Well, again, I think influenced by copious amounts of alcohol, I've got them in 13th. Actually, that's not too bad.
It's down slightly. But
about that.
It's not truly bottoming out. It's not bottom four.
Nah.
Well, I think with a new coach and a very, very new-look squad, because everyone's going to be playing a slightly different role.
Yeah,
especially Billy Frampton.
Yeah. I've got them 14th, because I see them having to adjust so dramatically. I don't expect them to click until at least halfway through the season. And even then, I think this season's going to be a very experimental one. They're going to be trying to figure out, all right, who's got options? Who's going to be the swing man? Who's going to be able to be the mongrel, if you like? Mm. So they're going to be experimenting and looking to 2022, 2023, for a bit of a tilt, if you like.
Yeah, I've got 14th as well because their off-season means they have lost a little bit of depth. They expect their improvement to come from within, and that's fine, and that's what you'd expect.
Yeah.
But it's not a jump out of the blocks type of thing. And new coach, things are going to take a little while, but I've got 14th.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest, Josh, the way this podcast started, I was expecting way more sexual innuendo for the rest of this one.
Well, we couldn't keep it up.
Let the team down.
That'll do us.
All right, peace. Ciao.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.